Chimpanzees are not just fascinating to primatologists, they've also inspired a spate of recent novelists. We're going to talk to two of them who have turned chimps into central characters in their books. The first is Benjamin Hale, and his novel is called The Evolution of Bruno Littlemore. So who is Bruno Littlemore?
Well, Bruno Littlemore is a talking chimpanzee. He's kind of introduced himself into human society, but is always stuck in this in-between space. He's not an animal, and he can't ever be accepted as a human being. He loves humanity, but he also hates it, and he hates himself for his desire to join humanity.
Well, I can see that, because, I mean, you hear it in everything that he says, but it's also more than that. You've made it pretty clear at several points in the novel that this is, in some ways, a retelling of Paradise Lost. It's a different take on how we all try to reconcile the animal in us with our pretense at humanity.
Yeah. No, I mean, Paradise Lost was definitely a major influence on the book. Two of the epigraphs are from Paradise Lost. One of them is when Eve meets Satan in the guise of a talking snake in the Garden of Eden. She says, "What may this mean? Language of man pronounced by tongue of brute and human sense expressed." Which I thought was a really beautiful thing. And it's kind of, an inspiration for the book. And then the next epigraph in the next section is Satan's response, describing what it's like to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He says, "Strange alteration came over me, and to degree of reason in my inward powers, and I turned my capacious mind to all things visible in the world, and heaven and the middle, all things fair and good," which is a really just eerie description of what it's like to gain knowledge and gain sin at the same time, which is kind of a theme in the book.
Yeah. Well, this is also, it explains why Bruno at one point calls Lucifer the master orator. It is the tree of life, isn't it? It's the apple that that we should or shouldn't have taken, depending on how you look at it.
Right. Well, language is typically thought to be one of the defining Rubicons that human beings have crossed that other animals just haven't done for whatever reason. And there are two major camps in how we understand language. One is the linguists, and particularly I'm thinking of the Chomsky linguists, and one is the biologists. And the linguists like to think of language as a system. And biologists like to think of language as a behavior. And whether or not you understand language as a system or a behavior radically affects the way that you understand what language is. Like, for instance, Chomsky and linguists would probably argue that nodding, head shaking, pointing, waving, etc., that's not language. That's gestural communication because it's not grammatical. Essentially, I agree with the biologists that language is primarily there for communication.
You spent a good deal of time studying these people. Did you spend time working with any of them? I mean, Lincoln Park Zoo exists.
Uh-huh.
Did you go there?
Yeah. You know, the kind of initial inspiration for this book is that at the time I was writing it, I was living in Iowa. And my girlfriend at the time lived in Chicago, which, you know, is about a 3-hour drive from Iowa. And so the first year that I was there, I probably spent more time in Chicago than in Iowa. And while I was waiting for her to finish work, I would just walk across the street to the Lincoln Park Zoo and just sit there and spend the day watching the chimps, just to, you know, in part to kill time, but also because I've had this lifelong fascination with chimpanzees ever since I was a kid. You know, and it was really fascinating to sit there for 4 or 5 hours at a time in an afternoon and observe the social dynamics between them, like who can beat up on who, who's friends with who, and so on. And I would bring a book with me to read when the chimps weren't doing anything. And, you know, and this is like in the dead of winter in Chicago in January and February. It's like, you know, 0, 10 degrees below outside, and I would be the only person in the zoo. And there was one time in January when it was bitterly cold outside and I was alone in the zoo with the chimps, and the chimps were, you know, napping, and I was reading Portnoy's Complaint, read Philip Roth, and I was reading this book about this guy who has this neurotic pervert who's complaining about his claustrophobic childhood and so on, and I was reading this book and I looked up at the chimps and it was sort of like, an idea was born. And so I started writing a book at first purely for my own amusement. And then the book kind of evolved into what it is from there.
You have a lot of, I think fun is the right word. Some people might call it blasphemy. You have a lot of fun creating a chimpanzee who almost does become human and then engages in some human activity which we as humans simply can't accept.
Well, that's kind of, the phrasing is kind of funny. It made me think, you know, one man's fun is another man's blasphemy. I mean,
well, and I think that's probably true, and maybe even more so here. Bruno Littlemore becomes involved with Lydia, who is the woman who found him at the zoo and perhaps introduced him to humanity in more ways than anybody ever expected.
Right, yeah. There is some sex in the book. The thing is that I wanted to take Bruno as seriously as I could as a character, and I wanted him to experience the full range of human possibility. Sometimes it irritates me when I read a book and it's just like sex is just not in it. Like the world of sex is missing from the book. It strikes me as weirdly Victorian. So I wanted to make sure if Bruno were a real creature, and basically I was thinking, if I were a talking chimpanzee, what would I do? What would I want? And I would think if he was a chimpanzee, sex would be a part of his consciousness. And part of the thing that tortures Bruno is the fact that he has this powerful, libidinous, perverse attraction to human women, and he is a chimp, in particular to one human woman, Lydia, the woman that he falls in love with.
So do you think in writing about Bruno Littlemore, you learned more about chimpanzees or more about people?
People are always asking themselves what makes us human. But in a way, I think that that's barking up the wrong tree. It's a slightly wrong question to ask. And what we really ought to be thinking about is the fact that human beings are animals. And we should think more about what makes us similar and what ties us to other animals than about what separates us. I once saw Jane Goodall when I think I was about 15 or so. I saw her give a lecture, and I remember her saying, if there's anything that you take away from this talk, it's that all living things on this planet are far, far closer together than they are apart. An idea that has always stuck with me and kind of informed me, and certainly this book.
Writer Benjamin Hale. His novel is called The Evolution of Bruno Littlemore.